Did you notice, brothers and sisters, something rather particular in that Luke 3 that we had read for us by our brother this afternoon? Did you notice that long genealogy? And did you notice in that long genealogy we had the repeat of the son? The son. The son. But did you notice that the son, in every case, is written in italics? And so it wasn't there in the true sense of the word, not in the original. And so when we read Adam was the son of God, he is not the son of God in the true sense. Adam was part of God's creation. Turn with me to the 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. The 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Verse 46, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. So first is natural, afterwards that is spiritual. And so we read in verse 45 these words, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam was made a living soul. The first Adam failed in obeying God. But the last Adam, notice it says the last, not the second, the last Adam succeeded, because it speaks, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we turn to Luke and chapter 3, we read these words. Luke 3, and read these words. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And you notice there, Son is not in italics. It's in the original. This is speaking of the only true Son of God. And it says there, he well pleased his Father. I want you to turn with me now to 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. In the Lord Jesus Christ all is yea, because through the Lord Jesus Christ he wrought the victory. In verse 20 it says, all the promises of God in him are yea. And he is speaking of the promises. The plan and purpose of God is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those promises made to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Those promises, brothers and sisters, that we're here this afternoon, because we believe those promises made unto Abraham, Isaac and Jacob are centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice there in verse 19 it says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You notice that he is the Son of God. Jesus pleased his Father. And by honoring his Father and obedience to his word, he was a true son of his father. And by doing that, he is obeying the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment. Turn with me to Luke 2. We were reading this yesterday. Luke 2. Remember we read it yesterday? Where Joseph and Mary and Jesus went to the Passover, to celebrate the Passover at Jerusalem. And when they returned in this great company of caravan, all the various people there, going back, they found, after a whole day's journey, that Jesus was not with them. And he tarried at Jerusalem. And we know that it says there, Jesus was 12 years old. And so Joseph and Mary returned to find him. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. 12 years old. The Jewish lad at 12 years old was considered an adult. He was a full responsibility. And so he said, Wist ye not, I must be about my father's business. 12 years old. He knew his responsibility. But you notice it says there in verse 51, And he was subject unto them. A fulfilling of the fifth commandment. And Jesus obeyed the laws of God. But Israel did not obey the law. And Jesus shows the way, brothers and sisters. Not only was he showing the way to Israel at the time, but he's also showing the way to us, the called out Gentiles. Would you turn with me to Ephesians 6? And we'll see how important this fifth commandment is. Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the fifth commandment. Honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here he is quoting the fifth commandment. And you notice what he says there in verse 2. He said, which is the first commandment with promise. And so he's saying, honouring thy father and thy mother, in effect, is obeying the first commandment, which is to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind and all thy soul, which of course Jesus did. He loved his father and he was obedient to him. Verse 2 and 3 we have there, Honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And of course he's quoting here from Exodus 20 and verse 12. Now, you notice there, it says that it may be well with thee, and that thou live long on the earth. And so it's speaking, this long life, in type and shadow, is speaking of the kingdom age, eternity. Speaking of the kingdom to come. And it's most important that we understand how the law is showing forth the right behaviour of those that are called in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents should be a good example to their children. They should have a loving family relationship. Because it's speaking of the ecclesia, which should have a loving relationship. We're all brethren and sisters here together. We are a family in Christ. And that is what we are called to be, this close-knit family. It is all speaking of these things in type and shadow, as God has revealed in his word. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, it means instruction, chastening, discipline with love. Admonition, putting into the mind, encouragement. And those things can also be added to us in the ecclesia, brothers and sisters, because all these things should mean that we should be a strong family in Christ, that knit together family. Turn with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, is one Yahweh. That is the Father, and here we have the first commandment, and thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first commandment, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And notice now verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so there is this constant orbiting round the truth in the ecclesia and in the family. And bring the children, nurture, admonition of the Lord, all things blend together. If the parents are convinced of the truth, how much this helps in the upbringing of the children in the right way. And he says that when thou shalt talk, when thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. The whole house should orbit round the things of the truth, brothers and sisters, because we believe. And you notice that Paul said the fifth commandment was likened unto the first commandment. You notice that word teach in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently. If you look in your margin, teach is whet or sharpen. And it is speaking of the sword. They used to whet the sword, and then with a keen edge push it upon the rock to get a nice sharp edge upon it. And so it means there the sharpness of the word. And the word of God, that sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. And we should be sharp, brothers and sisters, in the truth. Real sharp, that we know what we believe and are convinced by it and show it by the way we live our lives. Convinced of those precious promises that were made so long ago. So the principle of the fifth commandment is in the first as well. It is containing the first and the fifth are together. And we have this wonderful exhortation given to Israel regarding the family and bringing up the family correctly. Turn with me to Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. In verse 25. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or a likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Yahweh thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall utterly perish from off the land whereunto you shall go a Jordan to possess it, and you shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Now you notice there, he said, if you corrupt yourselves, make a graven image, and in verse 26, the end of verse 26, shall not prolong your days. Not. There is no kingdom, no eternity, you will be cut off. And there is a warning, brothers and sisters. You may say, in this modern day generation, that we wouldn't worship idols. But an idol is anything that gets in the way of the truth. And it's so easy. You see, when Israel corrupted themselves, it was because they forgot their separation and started mingling with the world around them. And it's so easy, brothers and sisters, for us to do the same. To get into the thinking of the world around us. To get the interests of the world around us. The world can offer so many things today, and it's so tempting. We can have ambition. We can have all these things that we want in the world around us. It's so easy for them to intrude in our lives that we find that we really haven't got time to do the readings, we haven't got time to attend all the Bible classes, we haven't got time to go to the breaking of bread every week. It's so easy for it to slide in, and it's so easy that influence that will come upon us, and that can be a stumbling block to us in true worship, which is a stumbling block, is an idol. It's so easy to realise that these things can intervene. And so the warning to Israel was that if you go away from the truth, then there is no hope for you. You've cut yourselves off. And we have the exhortation in verse 40 of this same chapter, chapter 4. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which Yahweh thy God giveth thee forever. The prolonging of the days, the forever. And it is speaking in type and shadow again of the promise of the kingdom age to come. That kingdom age to come, brothers and sisters, which we all long for. And that is the promise, but it is back to faith. It is back to obedience. Let us look at Abraham's example. Turn with me to Genesis in chapter 18. Genesis in chapter 18. Genesis in chapter 18 and verse 17. Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing as Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. I know that he will command his children. You notice it says there in verse 18, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Brothers and sisters, that's speaking of converts, the Gentile converts which are faithful and can be blessed in Abraham. But it says there, this is speaking of the faithful that worship in sincerity and in truth who obey Abraham. Well, let me just read to you this here. For Jesus said this in John, I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and ye do, speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, our father, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They claimed that Abraham was their father, and he said, he is your father if you do the works of Abraham. Brother and sister, that is the point, is those that respond. They just thought, as we read, John the Baptist thought, that they said to John the Baptist that they were Abraham's seed. And he said, of these stones he could raise up seeds to Abraham, because they were so faithless. It is those that show faith that they become the true children of Abraham. And so here we have this exhortation to us, brothers and sisters, that first we have the natural. If we can be naturally obeying the laws of God as laid down, those principles, as Jesus said, they haven't diminished. Those principles in the law should be observed. And certainly the fifth commandment ought to be observed. And therefore it's speaking of the natural, leads us by the grace of God to the spiritual, the time to come. Let us turn to one or two examples of this. Turn with me to the first of Samuel. In chapter 2. First Samuel in chapter 2. And here again, you see, because they didn't work the fifth commandment, honour the fifth commandment, they didn't honour the first commandment. We have here Eli. Eli was the high priest, and his sons did not honour him. First Samuel 2 and verse 24. And Eli said to his sons, nay, my sons, for it is a not good report that I hear. You make Yahweh's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against Yahweh, who shall entreat for him? He said, under the law of Moses, you can bring a case. If one man transgresses another man, you can bring it to the judges, they can make a decision. But he said, if a man sin against Yahweh, who shall entreat for him? That is breaking his laws. Notwithstanding, notice, notwithstanding, they hearken not to the voice of their father. They didn't listen to him. And therefore it says, because Yahweh would slay them. They wouldn't listen. And therefore, here again, they're not obeying the first commandment either. And it's tragic to read in chapter 8 of the first Samuel, the same thing happened to Samuel's children. Who would think that his children wouldn't heed, considering what a wonderful example Samuel would have been? Chapter 8, verse Samuel, verse 1, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. So they did not honour their father in what they did. But Eli's sons and Samuel's sons were in the priest's office. They were in the priest's office, brothers and sisters, and they didn't honour that either. Turn with me to Malachi in chapter 2. Malachi in chapter 2. Malachi in chapter 2 and verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. For they that seek the Lord, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. They should seek the law at the priest's lips. He says he is the messenger, or the ambassador of the truth. That's the priest's office. But brethren and sisters, we are called to be kings and priests. And therefore we should know the law. We should know the commandments. And we should know how to walk correctly in Christ Jesus. But Israel were astray, completely and utterly astray, because they adapted it so easy for flesh to try and twist the law to suit themselves. And so we have here that Jesus takes to task the religious leaders of his day. You turn with me to Matthew 15. But here again it's speaking of the fifth commandment. Matthew in chapter 15. Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were at Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Jesus answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So here they had twisted the law to suit themselves. The idea of the law of the fifth commandment was that the parents should bring up the children, and they were responsible for the children till they come of age. But when the parents were old, the children's position then was to look after the parents' welfare when they were old. So it was reversed. But you see, the scribes and the Pharisees had brought out this law of their own making. Yet the children paid a contribution into the treasury, which was called a gift, which is korban. It says then that they were not responsible anymore for their parents because they had made this gift unto God, unto Yahweh. And so they pretended that they'd made this spiritual act by giving this money. And then it made them exempt from responsibility for their parents in old age. So the parents must live, as they can, on the thought that their children were spiritual and put into the temple. And of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, Sadducees, well, they were covetous. They lived out of the treasury. And that gave them their very high standard of living. And of course, they encouraged it. And so Jesus says these words, that he says these words in verse 6. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say of you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. Brothers and sisters, there is lessons for us. Israel were continually taking the standards of the world around them because they did not want the discipline and the way of life that God ordained for them, because they were not allowed to have free license in the flesh. And of course, the world around us, as you know, has absolutely full license in the flesh, as we see every day, for they are not restricted. And it's so easy, brothers and sisters, that we must not measure our standards from their standards. And the tremendously powerful influence of the television and all its tripe and rubbish that's put on. 80% of television is fiction, and 80% of that percentage of that fiction is the writings and thoughts of men in the world. So why do you want to listen to their philosophy and what they write up? And all these are bad influences, just like they look to the daughters of Moab. It's so easy. It's the same sort of thing, looking towards that. The television has got very little to offer to brothers and sisters in the truth. And we should be separate, brothers and sisters, from the world and for these things. We are called to be separate, and Israel, of course, failed, and that is their undoing. We should be faithful children, brothers and sisters, to our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to the 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Second Corinthians in chapter 6 and the latter part of verse 16, we read, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord, says the Lord Almighty, or Yahweh Almighty. Called to be the children of God, brothers and sisters, and how the first commandment reflects the fifth, and the fifth the first. Jesus said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. And the whole point of the law was to show forth in type and shadow Christ's work and the sovereignty of Christ as the Son of God. Hebrews and chapter 3. Hebrews and chapter 3. So type and shadow of the law was to bring us, Israel and us, if we would know it, to Christ. Verse 5 of Hebrews 3. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Verse 6. But Christ, as the Son, over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. If we remain to be faithful. To be faithful. We are called by Yahweh to be faithful, as his son was. Faithful to the word, brothers and sisters. And we, brothers and sisters, in our walk, we all have our problems, our worries. We have difficulties. No one is free of them. We have to live our life. It is a daily struggle in the flesh. It's got to be. So Jesus himself had to come in the flesh to experience it, to be a right judge, the true Son of God. And we have to put up with these things, brothers and sisters, and we have to understand that we have to keep that vision of the truth before our eyes. Turning to Matthew 16, we have here where Jesus asked his disciples a very important question. Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, or to say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It wasn't his own thinking. God had revealed it to Peter that he was indeed the true Son of God. But did you notice what he said in verse 13, Lord Jesus? He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" The Son of Man, he called himself there. And of course, Jesus was the Son of Man and the Son of God. As the Son of Man, of course, he was the Son of Man because he was the Son of Mary. And as the Son of Mary, as the Son of Man, he could bring forth salvation because he died upon that stake and shed his blood. And the Jewish leaders never understood the Lord Jesus. They never understood that he was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God. John 6. John in chapter 6. John 6 and verse 51. And Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." But the Jews strove therefore among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man," notice the Son of Man, "and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever shall eat my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And of course, many couldn't accept that statement and didn't understand what it meant whatsoever. And many left him. In verse 66, we read these words: "From that time, his disciples, many of his disciples, went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." First the natural and then the spiritual. Jesus fulfilled the law. And it is through his great sacrifice, brothers and sisters, that we have hope in him. Jesus was obedient, the obedient Son, obeying his Father and doing his Father's will. And he fulfilled his will, made himself a completely free will offering. For he said, "No man taketh my life from me, I lay it down of myself." And he set his face, brothers and sisters, of flint to go to Jerusalem to do those things where there were afore written of him. The pain, suffering and the agony as the Son of Man. He died upon that tree for those brothers and sisters that are obedient in him. And now, brothers and sisters, as we come to remember him in his great sacrifice in the bread and the wine, we review our walk in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters. And may we, brothers and sisters, realize our high and lofty calling, that we may walk aright, knowing, brothers and sisters, that we are called to be the children of the Father of lights. And may we walk before him circumspectly in these latter days, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and we think it's very near now, that we may be invited to eat and drink anew with him in his Father's kingdom.
Some words from the